Welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 71. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
We are broadcasting live on a rainy Sunday afternoon on the 13th.
Evening.
A rainy evening. Smells wonderful outside. But on with the show. We have an interesting show for you. We have a resurrection as well from the dead. And a few tidbits and stuff.
What? A resurrection from the dead? Do we have a zombie Jesus walking around?
Zombie Jesus!
Right. With the sound effects included.
Zombie Jesus.
Right, anyway, letters. Let's see what we have this week. We've got one from some guy. Okay, it's a Darth Ura. I knew we shouldn't have mentioned him. I missed this live show, but I will download today. Waiting for it. We're only waiting for it. We like put it out there within like 20 minutes of finishing. Bruno says, sorry guys, didn't mean as an ad. This was a guy who was like advertising his phone.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. It was all about you being great. Paul, read the name right. Rono? Well, I don't know. How do you think it's pronounced?
Reno?
It's R-O-N-O.
Unless you're trying to say Reno as in the guy... Right, we'd like clarification. Are you Reno as in the guy who works...
the guy from the thing.
From Final Fantasy VII with the red hair. There's a guy from Final Fantasy VII with red hair. It's called Reno.
Well, it's Rono or Rono. I suppose the proper pronunciation, most phonetically, would be Rono.
Yeah.
Rono. I don't really know, so if we mispronounce your name...
We want you to say it to us, so send a...
Tough luck. You know, if you're really worried about it, send us a pronunciation guide.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of paragraphs on should do the trick. So anyway, he says he's been at work and now he's at home downloading the... What? He's been downloading the shows at work? Dude, you're damaging the economy.
Do some work.
Yeah, do some work. I'm downloading the show straight to my phone with WLAN. Okay, got to listen to the rest of the show now. And then he stuck his tongue out. Right, okay. Ooh, he says something else. In addition to the last comment, UK English phonetic pronunciation. And then it's this really big long URL. Which I can't actually click on because the line break has like gone in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait. Ooh, Killy Pants Mafia says, good show, guys. If you ever want / need another interviewee, I do have Skype installed.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be really freaky, because he's from America. He'll be our second American to be interviewed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd have to, like, rename it American GamerCast. Killy Pants Mafia also replied to an earlier comment. Saying shut up, PS3 sucks.
PS3.
We also got a letter from Mr. Paul, who says, "Hi, Paul and Adam. Hey, it's got the same name as me.
Cool.
Really like your show, guys. Listen every week via iTunes. Just send a $40 donation. Keep up the good work. Good. That like doubles our like Bobman money now.
Yeah.
Does it? Or was Bobman like, yeah, Bobman was like 20 quid one. So it's about the same as Bobman. So we're now half sponsored by Bobman, half sponsored by this dude.
Sponsored by Paul.
His name is like Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. We got sponsored by Obi-Wan.
Kenobi. So that's cool. Thank you very much for that.
What was the other one? What was that one?
You still owe me some money for hosting or something, didn't you? Because you only paid up 2 months, didn't you?
Yeah, what did I pay up to April, didn't I?
I don't know. I'll have to check in my accounting figures.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But I'm sure you haven't paid me for like 2 months, so it must be this month, I think. You owe me. You have to start coughing up some money.
Yeah, because I paid up so that I could get...
Although you can pay up only like half money, because he paid like the other half. So yeah, Adam is happy now. He only has to pay me half because we had like a donation. Damn, missed it again, damn. That's from Mongoose. Stupid name is Mongoose. Oh, Psycho Bob says, you have a weird voice.
Psycho Bob.
Yeah, you're just psycho.
My name is Psycho Bob, and I come from Minnesota.
Oh no, Killy Pants Mafia, who's in the chat room, says he put on a British accent.
Hey.
Right, and then we're like, behead you for like talking the Queen's English.
And it's her English, you have to pay her taxes to speak it, otherwise you have to speak Pig Latin. I don't know how you do that. Don't chew on my memory stick.
Memory card. Okay, so do you want to start off?
Yeah, go
for it. Oh, hang on. Feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net, or can be left on the blog at gamercast.net, or you can talk to random people like Mongoose, stupid name, on the forums, which is portalforums.net. Right, let's actually get on with the meaty subjects now.
Okay.
Do you want to do your Lord of the Rings nonsense?
Yep.
Get all the crappy online RPG stuff out of the way so people can, like, wake up later on instead of falling asleep halfway through the show.
Okay. Lord of the Rings Online has come out, and it seems like it's done a complete success. It is beating sales for...
Hang on.
Wow.
I haven't seen a single copy sold.
No?
No.
Don't
know. Maybe if we had a free copy from, say, the publishers, and we had a few months online, they pay us, we would, like, review it. Mm. So we would know, but... So, sorry, we don't know.
It's a Games for Windows game.
I know that. I've seen the box.
I myself haven't gone nuts in the case of wanting to go buy. It looks absolutely amazing for an online RPG. But I've got WoW already. It seems to be doing well, but I think it's always the way that as soon as a new online RPG comes out, people jump on it because they know that if you start straight away, you can be the top dog straight away. And a lot of people have been waiting this. There's a lot of Lord of the Rings fans out there, so that probably shows for the sale figures. But with online RPGs, it's how long
it's
going.
It's not, you know, what it says here, it's the best seller right out of the box. I can believe that, but it's nowhere near the, you know, subscriber base of WoW.
Mm.
So IGN should watch their headlines, because it makes it seem like Lord of the Rings Online like is bigger than WoW.
Game-wise, the contents would be nowhere near the WoW, because you've already got an expansion pack, plus the content for WoW is so big.
Plus, the WoW fantasy world is arguably better than Lord of the Rings.
It does have an advantage of the fact that it's based off a game, which means that the rules is based off something that you're used to, but in like a film or a book where there is a large storyline that is very
exactly
fixed.
You can't fit it all in the game.
Yeah, this is all based around a certain area. You can only go so far in time, so far backwards. Certain limitations were affected when they built the Star Wars universe. The advantage is that was a massive clump of planets, and God knows what were happening on all the planets at all times when the film was going on.
Exactly.
So you can get around it here, but this is one small part of Middle-earth. I can imagine it being a very good game, and I must admit, I would like to get my hands on a copy and maybe see if I can find free trial and have a go, but I don't know.
If we were given a copy for free and like paid to play it for a couple of months, we would get some opinions on it.
The thing that's bothering me at the moment is it seems like, I don't know this for a fact, and if someone could clarify this to me, please do, that when I looked at the box, it showed the playable characters when you unfold it, a bit like the WoW box unfolds, and it's got their human, dwarf, hobbit, and elf, and that's all it showed.
Human, dwarf, hobbit, elf.
As playable characters. Now, does that saying that you can only be on the good side? Does that mean you can't be a goblin or an orc?
I want to be an orc.
Are they available? Is it a one-sided online RPG?
Chat room people, use your intellect to work out what's going on with this game.
Is it one-sided?
Because if it is, that's dumb.
And I'm hoping that if you're a human, that you've got the ability to be a wizard or something like that, because that would just be stupid if they just cut it off so that you're only certain human abilities, standard human, you know, like a Rohirrim or a Gondor person.
Gondor person, bunch of pansies. My city's being attacked.
I've got wings on my helmet.
Right, so yeah, if somebody wants to clarify that, that would help.
Yeah.
Okay, in the news is Civ 4 stuff.
Beyond the Sword.
I don't have a sword.
We will do soon when this comes out. Beyond the Sword will be released between the weeks of July the 23rd in the United States. The rest of the civilization world, we move beyond the sword at the end of July. The pack will be the largest expansion in the history of Civilization franchise.
Yeah, maybe the largest, but it hasn't got any stuff we actually want.
And the expansion will include 10 new civilizations, 60 new leaders, and 5 new wonders, and a slew of new units. Fair enough. We've got a nice expansion pack with the warlords.
Yeah, vassal state for the win.
But it'll be interesting.
I nailed some Roman dude in your face.
I've got to reinstall that again and have a bit more of a.
Right, that's it. I'm playing it now. Supreme Commander.
But yeah, new expansion out, which is nice. I haven't seen anything from Civ for a while, so it was nice that it's coming out.
Well, we knew it was coming out because it's been in development, and generally speaking, if you develop a game, you release it.
I ain't seen it from development. You haven't seen anything.
Well, that's because I'm never really into Civ expansions, because a lot of time it's just scenarios, and yeah. I never ever play scenarios because they're boring. Although I will admit, some of the like whole world scenarios where you start off as each civilization, those can be good, but the trouble with that is Europe, because geographically it's so small, just gets squished and overpowered by everyone else.
Mm.
Which obviously doesn't follow real life.
Yeah.
Where Europe is, you know, the dominant trade thing in the world with 30% global trade, compared to the United States with only 12%.
It'd be nice if they brought out a civilization expansion pack that brought the civilization a little bit further, you know, a bit more fantasy field further.
What?
And also a bit further.
Fantasy? What are you on about?
You know,
I want to kick Julius Caesar's ass.
You know what I mean? A bit more futuristic. So it's not like you've
got... Well, go into the future a bit more.
Yeah, and maybe go a bit further back. A little... Because how far does it start? Is it? It doesn't even go back as far as cavemen, does it? It's just more...
It's 4000 BC, so yeah. The...
Romans.
What? The Romans? Didn't...
No.
It's Stone Age. Yeah, you start off in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty far back.
Yeah, that is pretty far back.
It's 6000 years ago. The dawn of civilization, hence why it's called civilization.
Yeah, true.
See, I'm clever. I work it out.
See the connection, and you put them together. Bit of salivate. Done. But yeah, new expansion pack release date.
Genius. Genius.
You're looking forward to that. I must admit.
When's the release date? July 23 in the United States.
So, all you United States fans.
You know, it's what was it? The rest of the world, the rest of the civilized world will move beyond the sword at the end of July, so about a week later.
Yeah. So if any of the listeners go out and buy it, if you can get a review within a day or two before the next show, before we get a hold of a copy, feel free. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, audio reviews. We want some more.
Yeah. Especially from the Americans, guys, because you've got like a week or a bit expansion to the date releases. If there's a game that comes out in America before it comes out in UK, we'd love to get a review off you guys for the show. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, man.
So we can know what's coming. Right.
Let's do that one first.
Yep. Eyes are on the Ghost Squadron.
We haven't written out any of these on the show notes. You talk, I write them out.
Okay. Ghost Squadron.
What are you talking about first? Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah. Game built by Sega. It looks like an amalgamation of Sega's light gun games, a bit like Virtual Cop. They've taken advantage to the laser pointer system designed for the Nintendo Wii.
Ooh, laser pointers. Cool, man.
Which has been used by Capcom's new Umbrella Corporation.
Umbrella? What?
Remember we did a review on Umbrella Corporation, Resident Evil game.
Oh, that.
Where it's going to be a laser gun game where you're going around Wii Remote shooting all the zombies that come up, like House of the Dead.
Yep.
Well, Sega have got onto the bandwagon and decided to design a new game based off the same sort of system, using the Wii Remote as a light gun and shooting that way. So it's going to be a rail game as usual, like Virtual
Cop. Rail shooter.
How good it would be, not yet to know, but it's nice that they're looking at that. A lot of people have all been trying to do standard games, but get into the whole shake your remote to punch, put it up and down to do this punch, and some of them have been interesting games that have done it, a bit like when I looked at Marvel Was it Marvel Universe? The new Marvel game that I had
some
on the RPG.
Comic book thing for 7-year-olds.
That was really cool, but it got boring after a while. I must admit, the system for Dragon Ball Z has been really nice because they're using, instead of it being motion sensor on the remote, it's all about the pointer on the screen. Is the pointer on the screen or it's not on the screen? And that determines moves. So it's nice that people are using the pointer a bit more than just the fact that you can shake the Wii remote and something happens.
Well,
so
the trouble with using the on-screen cursor is it's actually quite hard to control.
I find it quite easy. It's one of those things that I found it really hard at first. When I first had mine, it was when I got...
Yeah, but to take your average Wii owner...
A bit of playing on Wii Play. That's what I mean. Not many people have utilised the pointer yet, so most people are only used to using it as a navigation cursor with the hand on
if,
the...
If the Wii remote had a whole, like, gun thing, so you
yeah.
put it back into your shoulder and look down the, you know, the sights...
Or a handgun style.
Handgun? We want to hit something, dude. Bang, bang, bang. You don't hit anything.
The gun that they had on the E3 looked nice, where it was like basically it was a nunchuck you held in your right hand with a slot to slide the Wii remote in the front, so you could do that.
You need sights.
But the thing is, you're not aiming at the screen with this; you're aiming at the sensor because you're actually aiming further down. You're not actually aiming at the screen because it wasn't about it. You don't have to go like
this.
But
you adjust your sights.
But no. It's interesting that people are actually bringing more of this out. I'm going to enjoy this sort of thing because it's not like, oh, I want to play this game. It's like, right, okay, so I'm going to go put the disc in. And like when I had...
Look, man, there's a Covenant. He's just on the horizon. Let's get my huge tripod out and my big cannon. Let's take him out. Try doing that with a handgun. Don't hit anything.
When I had my PlayStation 2, I had...
What are you
going to
hit with a Wii remote? Nothing. All you can do is throw it.
In real life,
we need
yeah.
some firepower.
You added into the end of a
get some artillery bank set up.
I got something to tell you in a minute. I forgot what I was going to bloody say now. But anyway, yeah, it's good that they're having... That was it. When I had a PlayStation 2 and I had...
You had a PlayStation 2?
Oh, what'd you call it? The light gun game from Namco. What was it? You had number 2 that was out, the first one on it.
Time Crisis?
Yeah, Time Crisis 2. I had Time Crisis 2. And as cool as it was like, right, so now I've got to get the box out, get the gun out, unwrap the cable, plug it in the USB slot, then put the game in, and it's like, I just sometimes couldn't be asked to play the game because I couldn't be bothered to plug the gun in. Now with this, at least, is you just put the game in like any other, and you've got the Wii remote, and you just shoot everything. So it means I can sit there and just blow the crap out of stuff quickly and not have a game that I don't have to get too in-depth in for it. So the odd light gun game is nice, and the fact you're not having to think, oh, what gun shall I get? Am I going to get the gun with it? You know, it's just a game that works with the Wii remote, so it's a nice thing. Do like that. So when it comes out, you know, it's going to be a standard light gun game. It's going to be like Virtual Cop. So don't, and it's by Sega, so it's going to have a cool twist on it. But
so it might, if you're really lucky, have some weird voice saying Sega at the start of the game.
Yeah.
But more than likely, it would just be Sega with no like noise.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
But looking forward to that.
Ooh, let's just check the chat room. Because a bunch of people are talking. Okay, Kitty Pants Mafia has wandered off. That's cool.
So, Wister said that for Lord of the Rings Online, there is no plans for release an expansion patch which evil races will be fully playable.
So yeah, update on Lord of the Rings. You can only play as the good, in quotation mark, races.
So, similar to how...
Although personally, I think the orcs are one of the best, like, good races. It's those fracking humans. You know, they surround Mordor, and they need resources, and they're boxed in.
Mm.
It's unacceptable. No wonder they're so desperate for expansion.
I can imagine the expansion pack would eventually come out later once it breaks off. But it would be the same as like City Heroes. City Heroes, you could only play hero. Then you had City of Villains come out. But
City of Villains.
It's got to come out because look at the WoW players. You're going to have WoW players who are going to be like, you think I'm going to play Lord of the Rings when I can sit on WoW and be my orc? and ride around on my thing. You know, I don't even know if there's mounts in it or yet. So before you start thinking, ooh, it's a games for Windows, it'll work with Vista, and it looks, it does.
Wow, works with Vista.
It looks really good, which it does. I would really suggest if you're considering to buy Lord of the Rings online, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, go to the official website, read through everything, and see what it's like comparison to WoW. You might find that it's not the game for you.
Yeah, this is Gimbercast. Our information on Lord of the Rings Online is going to look at the official website. Because we don't know it, because we didn't do any research beforehand.
I was tempted to go have a look at it, but I thought...
Because we were too busy playing Forza Motorsport.
Yeah. And I was watching Heroes.
Who knows? Right, do you want to cover your VGA thing?
Yeah, Xbox 360 VGA output. It's getting fixed. It states in the news...
What do you mean it's getting fixed? It wasn't broken to start with.
Do you want to read it out? Because, go on, you go for it.
Okay, basically, VGA PC monitors and TVs have different brightness controls. Mm. So it's a value of the 8-bit figure. I don't know what the details of it is. But basically, the 360 would assume you have a TV, and it would send over the VGA cable everything calibrated to a TV's color.
Yeah.
So on a PC monitor, it would seem like the gamma was maybe 10% higher than it should be.
Are we talking standard PC monitors, or are we talking PC monitors like we've got in front of us?
Mine.
Yeah.
So this update just resolves that, basically. So 360s on PC monitors will no longer have their gamma. Well, it looks like gamma. It's because how the colours are calibrated are slightly different. So yeah, they've changed that around. So by default, it will assume you've got a PC monitor sort of colour thing.
Cool. So, it's really annoying because it would be the 18th this Friday and Halo 2 would be out. Is...
well, it's out following week. Chill, man, chill. Relax.
But is the system still coming out on the 18th? Or is it put back with the game as well?
What do you mean, the system?
The live...
Live ships with Halo. Right. 23rd of... May in the United States, and 25th, or it might be the 22nd in the United States, because they usually release on a Tuesday, don't they?
Yeah.
And 25th in the UK, so it'll probably be the 24th in the rest of Europe.
So on that Sunday after, we'll be doing our review on Halo 2, of what we think of it, multiplayer style-y, which would be cool.
You're getting it, yeah? Are you going to pick it up on Friday?
I'm coming down Friday after work, and yeah. I'll be finishing work at 12:30.
We'll get online at something.
Yeah.
You finish work at 12:30?
Yeah.
Why aren't you Skype?
Yeah, I work 37 hours a week.
Skype.
Right. So, what else did you have? Because that's all me.
We were going to talk a bit about the Xbox 360 Spring update.
Yes.
Which we actually just covered, sort of. So yeah, that was one of the improvements in the Spring update. Another major improvement is Windows Live Messenger support, which works really cool because now people can see me online if they're on my Messenger thing, and they can see me playing on my 360 and send me messages on my 360, and the 360 even has smiley faces,
which is cool because it means that obviously that is capable to be is that automatically dial in as soon as you turn your computer, your Xbox 360 on?
Yeah, by the once you've set it up, it will sign you in automatically unless you change it.
Which gives an advantage because it means... Right, let me ask a question.
Great, a question. Fun.
Live that comes out with Halo 2.
Mm-hmm.
Can you access that without having to be playing on Halo 2?
No, it's built into Halo 2, the game.
Right, okay. I can see the...
With live on Windows, it isn't... At the moment,
it isn't
all the time.
It's a part of the game system. So once
you
get in with the
game... So when you actually play Halo 2, you then sign into live. You're not signed in all the time when the machine's running.
Which having Messenger with the Xbox 360 makes it good, because it means if you're sat here doing something on your PC, and I'm playing on my Xbox 360, I can see that you're online on your PC, and you can see I'm playing on my Xbox 360, and it still gives us that communication over a PC and Xbox 360. And for argument's sake, you went on to Halo 2. I'd know you're on Halo 2, and I was like, ooh, Paul's on Halo 2, and I'll go join him and go get onto my PC. But if my PC's turned off, even if you're not playing Halo 2, say you weren't in the mood to play a video game, I'd still know that you were about without having to wait until you sign into Halo 2 before I'd know that you were coming online.
Yeah, let's just turn this thing on.
So, definitely gives a dual connectivity. You know, you've got Messenger and Live as two ways to communicate between people across two platforms. Which is going to be very nice when people start playing Shadowrun, for the fact that that game is crossoverable between the two platforms. Which is going to be very nice. I'm interested in Shadowrun just to see what it's like. It'll be interesting when the demo comes out to have a go on that.
You're mine. Right, let's just show you what the live thing is like.
Go for it.
Let's just sign in here. Let's put the sound on. Because we like the page sound. Yeah, perhaps it would be best if you describe the spring update, because you're a noob when it comes to the spring update.
Okay.
Doesn't want to sign in. There we go. Right.
Ooh.
Let's talk about that first.
Which is what you gave me as well. So Marketplace is all. So all of this interface is completely different now. Marketplace completely changed. You've got.
Hang on. The Marketplace is essentially the same, but it's been moved to its own like page, its own blade.
Yeah.
Let's see what shopping tab is doing.
Halo 3 beta. He is playing. So, yeah, just
we've got people playing Halo 3 beta.
So you got your games, your live, and now you got a marketplace tab, which is quite nice. So everything's accessible there, because originally all of that was jammed as a one.
Here we go. This is the Messenger thing.
That's cool.
You can plug a USB keyboard in to type as well, and you can also bring up like a little MSN window and keep that like over a video or a game or whatever. Showing Adam Messenger. Dude, talk.
Yeah, so annoyingly, you still got the same keyboard interface as you would have with sending someone a message over the Xbox 360. Like Paul was saying, plug in a USB keyboard and...
Or when they release it in the summer, the QWERTY keyboard for the controller.
Which I've seen looks nice. I was quite impressed with that. I'm sure that's going to make things a lot better for people who are playing any sort of massive multiplayer or game where you need, or RPG online game, which is going to be nice, because they have had one out before. Nintendo invented a keyboard controller, and it was the GameCube controller, and it was the GameCube controller in half, so it was two halves, and they attached them on the end of a keyboard for playing Phantasy Star Online. Ooh, Double Dragon.
I had this on my Spectrum.
I had it on the NES. I love the way they walk. I've got something up my bum. So this is a remake.
Wait, port from like the whatever game. Wow, this looks so much better than the Spectrum version.
Yeah.
I'm getting boned though.
Mr. T's wanted. Dead or alive. Oh, that is very cool. It looks really like...
Nice.
What you'd expect. It's like tricking your memory to thinking, wow, that's what it looked like on the NES. And then you look at it and it's like, it's so much better and it's so much bigger. I'm liking the whole...
I really can't work out what the controls are. Oh look, that's how you headbutt, how do I do that?
It's okay to continue on. Oh, you got a guy behind you. Keep his head. In the head, in the head.
So yeah, this is one of the Xbox Live games. Double Dragon was released like this week or maybe the week before.
Sweet.
So that's fun. But yeah, you've got basically what they've done on the Xbox Live Blade is they've moved the marketplace off of that and put on messages, friends, and then the new addition is Chat and IM. So Chat and IM lets you go to this basically. So you've got normal private chat channels.
And the video channel.
Yeah, like you have normally, and then you have an extra page for Messenger.
That is very cool. I like that.
And Miss Moose says, me brought Boom Boom Rocket last night. Smiley face. It's great. That's talking to over Messenger.
That is very cool. So, everything that would have been on that next page once you clicked on Marketplace is now initially on that first blade. Which is very nice. Go back to the Marketplace blade.
I'll just put the friends list up so you can see what it looks like. So there we go.
Oh, there I am, busy, which is my girlfriend on my computer.
So yeah, you notice, say, Catherine, her gamer tag, and then her MSN thing comes on, and then it shows her as being on Messenger. But you, because you don't have your
gamer tag
associated with your MSN thing, it doesn't show up.
That's very cool.
But you can, you know, hide all them, so you can only see, like, your MSN contacts who have Xbox Live. So you can do it both ways.
Oh, that's cool. So you can filter between it.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of bringing two communication systems linked together on a machine. I'm curious...
And if you're on a PC and your friend is on his or her Xbox, it shows it as being like Xbox 360 dashboard, or Xbox 360 Geometry Wars, or Xbox 360 Forza Motorsport Demo.
Well, that's cool.
So it tells them what you're doing as well.
It'd be interesting to see what the interface is with Xbox Live on Halo 2.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they have the Messenger stuff, or if the Messenger stuff is just left
out
on the MSN client normally.
Yeah.
I suspect the latter.
But it'll be interesting to see what has been brought across with the Xbox Live communications.
But yeah, you've also got the regular online status thing. Except now you've got it for both Xbox Live and Windows Live Messenger. So if, for example, you were skiving off work and you didn't want your boss to see you on like Windows Live Messenger, you could appear offline on that, but still be online to all your friends on Xbox Live.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's all separate. The new low power mode as well.
Screensaver. So what does that do as such?
Enable auto off to automatically turn off your console after 6 hours. That's new. And then you've got background downloads to turn the machine off automatically when it's finished downloading and put the machine into a low power state while it's downloading. So for example, if I had some downloads queued up now, I press that, the system would power down apart from the hard drive and network and stuff and still download them.
Same as the Wii then.
And then, yeah, turn off when it was finished.
No, that is...
Okay, dude?
Yeah.
See, it's, you know, since you've had...
Because... I can't remember what we had looked at mine when I was last on, wasn't it? It was August time, was the last time I had my Xbox 360 online playing a game. Which was the last time I played it. It wasn't the last time I played it. I had played it again, but that was offline at my friend's house where it broke. and I never got it back. Never got it switched on again. So yeah, since August, and we've got another one working.
Yep.
But fair enough, I had it working for 5 minutes, transferring stuff from a hard drive to a memory card, and it keeled over after a while. But it might be new life. So yeah, we brought my Xbox 360 over to Paul's, and we plugged it in to see if it works.
And it's working.
Hmm.
Although we'll have to really stress it out in a minute.
Make sure that it's not just pure luck.
Yeah, so that's the Xbox 360 Spring Update, which is a good improvement overall.
Mm.
Messenger is for the win.
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
For the win.
For the win.
Also released on, what was it? Wednesday, I think. Yeah, Wednesday, I think, the Forza Motorsport 2 demo came out.
Which we were playing with.
Which I will let Adam review to start off with.
Very simulation. I haven't played racing games since, well, my own copy of Project Gotham Racing 3. And I was all over the place. This game, it is down to the T in simulator. It makes Gran Turismo seem like a cardboard cutout car
game.
It
makes Gran Turismo seem like a table tennis game.
Exactly. You can really it allows you to see the detail of what they've done for the simulation of it, as well as the fact that it still looks just as good and better as Project Gotham Racing 3. The customization of it basically makes you not feel like you're just on a racing game. You know, you've got the cool games where you're arcade racing around, going around a hairpin with the wheels locked the other way, and you go, it looks like a movie, and you're, yeah, this game is still realistic, but if you're that good enough driver, you could still do it and look cool and have really cool car that's done up. So,
but if you're just like me and Adam, then you just lose it on the corner and smash into a wall.
Do you remember we were playing Project Gotham Racing 3 when I used to have it, and it's like playing with Rudis and I'm doing really well, and then you just hear me screaming down the micro, whoa, bang, and I drive a Ferrari into a wall in New York. I was alright until I start yattering over the headsets, and then I start banging into stuff. I'm alright when I'm playing against people online and I've turned my headset off. It's when I was talking to you guys, I get losing my concentration.
Yeah.
But,
how convenient. So yeah, this is what I think of Forza Motorsport 2 demo. One, first time I played it, I thought it looked crap.
Mm.
Because it didn't have the nitty-gritty detail that PGR3 has. Apart from the cars, which look amazing.
Yeah.
But the more you play it, the more you realise all the detail is far away.
Mm.
You know, in PGR3, you can only see maybe 100 metres ahead of you to any detail. Because even, like, you know, the arrows pointing for a corner would draw in as you approached them.
Mm.
Forza Motorsport, you can just see, like, across the whole thing.
Yeah, it's much more larger expansion.
So, yeah, although the, you know, close-up graphics aren't as good as PGR3, you don't have all the annoying things of PGR3, like not being able to see very far, etc., etc.
It's impressive, and there's enough in there to keep you happy, I think.
The sound in the game is awesome.
Mm.
The engines sound great.
Surround sound is going to be absolutely immense with that.
It is.
I'm going to have a hard time when I get my Xbox 360 to fight between whether or not I keep it with my PC or I put it in the living room. I must admit, it would be hard.
Well, it's the same with me. If I have it up here, I've got no DD5.1 decoder up here.
Mm.
So it's stereo.
Yeah.
Unless I put it downstairs on the standard definition TV. So it's a fight between high definition graphics or 5.1.
See, I'm half tempted that when I get my Elite, if I can get this Xbox 360 working permanently, to have one in one room and one in the other, considering the fact that I've got two.
Greedy.
Because
give it to a needy child.
Because the advantage of having this one is, if I don't overstress it, I can just use this as a media center connection to my PC.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Although I haven't got any TV connection because the aerial is crap in our flat, but
I can
get alright channels. But the good thing is, it's like at the moment we're watching Heroes, which a friend has given to us on a DVD, but it's all videos on the DVD, so I've got them on my hard drive, so we're watching them on my PC.
So you can stream them.
So streaming them from the hard drive straight across to the Xbox 360 would be amazing. But no, very cool. Liking, loving it.
Yeah, whoopee.
So yeah, spring update. I've got it now on my old Xbox 360. So you want to say something about a certain fruit now?
Halo 3 has been released, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been watching some of the videos of it, and it looks intense. I'm still wondering why Microsoft haven't given me a code to access the beta yet. So I request a code so I can review the game.
Cool.
Hint. And if you don't want to give it to me, give it to Adam, and I'll gladly pay on his behalf.
Yeah.
I don't mind pretending my name is Adam and playing the game.
But it does look cool. I must admit, at glance, the thing that makes me really excited about it is because it's not great quality.
What?
I mean,
dude.
You know what I mean? In the fact the quality of the video, you're not watching it in high definition video, and it's beta anyway. But it does look great. You glance at it and you start thinking, it looks the same as Halo 2.
What do you mean it looks the same as Halo 2? How? But
it's that special trick where if we go play Halo 2 now, we'll look at it and go, hang on, Halo 2 looks really shit.
Hey, because don't knock Halo 2.
Because Halo 3's bumped the level up again, and your memory keeps thinking, oh, it looks the same. It was exactly the same when Gran Turismo 3 came out when I had my old PlayStation 2. My mate James played it and went, yeah, that doesn't look that great, mate. He says, that looks the same as Gran Turismo 2. He went back and played Gran Turismo 2 and he rang me up and said, it doesn't seem the same as it did in my memory. It's so easy for a game to seem really graphically great when you think about it in your memory, but...
Have you seen this?
No.
So what we're looking at here is the matchmaking screen, and the current playlist would be Team Skirmish. Ooh. The match we're going to be watching is, of course, going to be Team Slayer.
Watching
on
this
Last
video,
Resort.
I found Last Resort, a really cool thing.
As we know, is the retooling of the Halo 2 map, Zanzibar. Now, of course, the most interesting thing to circle with your are you've gone in the single player campaign
blah, 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 blah,
service record,
and below that we have the Xbox Live stats, which just throw some more fuel on the simplified stats fire here. It looks like you get just normalized experience.
So yeah, this is a video on YouTube. If you type in Halo 3 beta leak analysis, it'll probably come up.
It's points for ranked matches, social matches, and the like. And to the left of all this, you're going to notice this big empty piece of real estate, which makes me think back to the last and maybe we'll get a taste of that in the beta. So the match finally starts, and you get this effect when you spawn, and believe me, you're going to see this a few times, because the guy who's playing is, well, not that good at Halo 3. But you get this effect that you've actually heard about in the Eric Nyland novels, where this, you know, the grid washes over the screen, you know, it's curved like the visor. You can see the outline of Massachusetts visor there. It's, you know, really, really nice effect there. You get the cute little welcome message, which, hey, who knows. Now, if you look real close, and this is one of those interface quirks that EGM talked about in their cover story a few months back, the whole interface is actually curved around the visor, with the outermost icons actually skewed towards the center. This is actually most noticeable if you look at the bottom right-hand corner. The Team Slayer and the score listing is actually at a slant, the map is at a slant, as well as the grenades. And speaking of grenades, this is something that Halo 2 did, though it's not as noticeable as it is here in this beta. If you don't actually have a type of grenade in there, the icon for them is dimmed a lot more than it was in Halo 2, which should make it a lot easier to tell just out of the corner of your eye or not even looking which grenades you have handy. Now, this is something that we've seen a few times before, but it's definitely interesting to see it in action. In Halo 3, you're going to be able to have your own little nickname, you know, maybe, like, they haven't landed how many characters it's going to be, probably somewhere around, like, 3 and 5 characters, but it'll definitely be easier to tell people apart while out in the battlefield here. But if you come close to a person and you actually pull your reticule right over the person, their whole gamer tag will expand, and then it'll, you know, collapse back in when you take it off them. So it'll definitely be easier just to keep track of people.
It
and
seems weird to be
watching
a Halo game that looks so good quality and still see
the old
Halo.
It's pretty easy to tell
Halo
that
rifle.
This were an objective-based game. The red team here would be on the defensive end of Last Resort. As it comes across the top here, you can see the now two main gates that make...
Okay, blah, 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 blah.
Is just that, it is a shield, you know, the bullets stay out, but they also stay in as well, so you can't just stay inside it and, you know, fire back.
It's the bubble shield.
Exactly like you would expect it to react. And here, you know, he goes and he actually throws her grenade while inside it, and it bounced right off inside, and that's the end of the bubble shield. You know what the most depressing thing is about this video? Is this is probably this guy's last game of Halo 3 before Bungie, like, ninjas assassinated him, and, well, dude just kind of sucks. Like, that grenade toss there, he didn't even look for it, he just turned around and panicked.
Okay, so now the dude is just criticizing the guy playing it.
Jesus. Yeah, nice aiming, dude.
You just shoot at a wall.
Nothing really new happening here at the response screen. You can see the back button, which is going to be like your personal silencer for annoying players, but other than that, it looks the same. So he goes ahead and picks up the brute spiker here. You know, it's got 60 round...
So yeah, that's some Halo 3 action for Adam to look at.
Ooh, it's looking good. It seems really weird seeing the old rifle look back again, but it's going to be nice.
The assault rifle.
I'm going to like the fact that I'll be able to
Yeah,
have...
the battle rifle's Halo 2 in there. I always get them mixed up.
It's going to be nice to have the battle rifle and the assault rifle and have both.
Yeah,
because I like.
I know. Let's do it Ripley style. Let's get some tape and tape them together.
You know what I mean. I like to have one slung over, so the fact that I can go around, because I like the whole with the zoom, and then when I get into a more firefight, pull the assault rifle out and go Halo 1 on their ass and just.
Yeah, but the gun does behave differently than Halo 1.
Yeah, I've heard on the thing that you showed me, but it is going to be nice. I like the idea behind it, for the fact that they're doing it so people can use the melee attack again.
With Michael Beecher and I...
Yes? Yeah, the clip is shorter and it spews bullets out over like a bigger range.
Yeah.
Which... So the you know, it's more like a half shotgun, submachine gun.
But it's going to be more useful than having those little handgun...
The SMGs.
Yeah, they're all, you know, it's good quick.
What
gun
are you, some gangster? Get a proper gun.
Myself, I'm
get a rifle. Stop prancing around.
Have they said anything about a handgun? If you're going to have the old style handgun, because originally all you've got is these ones. But I prefer, because it's got this. It's less powerful, but it has got a scope on it, wasn't it? In number two, or was it number
in
one?
In number one, had the 2x scope.
Yeah,
and it was super powerful.
Your headshot kill you, and it's all you needed. I used to love killing people.
Yeah, but
while I was playing that.
You know, people say, "Oh, bring back the Halo 1 pistol. Bring back it. It's overpowered. It's a pistol, and it's as powerful as a sniper rifle."
It was like a Magnum.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, it was two or three shots to an elite's head, and he'd be down.
Because I have had a go playing with having two pistols in each hand, and there is no stopping power there, and it feels like you don't want to use them anymore.
The Halo 2 pistols were underpowered.
Yeah, there needs to be a medium there. But because I do
because,
like having pistols.
You know, it doesn't have to be as accurate as in real life, as in pistols being massively underpowered compared to a rifle. But it's a game. You know, the weapons need to have some balance.
Because I did like the balance of weapons in.
If you have a pistol, you should be able to take out a guy with another weapon. Unless it's a rare weapon, like, you know, the rocket launcher. So it really depends. I mean, if they spawned everyone with a pistol, fine. But a lot of time they spawn everyone with an SMG.
Yeah. It's going to be nice to be able to have that mixture.
Which makes
weaponry.
The pistol, you know, worthless.
Yeah. Really, what would be nice, there's something they built into Star Wars Republic Commando, where you only had one gun, but the gun was basically a shell, and it came apart, and you stripped it down, took all the parts off and put them back on your pack, and you pulled out different parts. You could transfer it from an assault rifle to sniper gun, because he basically added this extra bits on, and it came with a scope, and then you could take that part off and put this, where the magazine went in, you put this attachment, you put on some things, and you had a grenade launcher. But when it ran out...
A grenade launcher...
When you ran out...
What, like a pistol?
No, it was a big machine gun, but the whole front of the machine gun snapped off, and you took it apart, and you rebuilt it back up again, but it was very quick to do.
Yeah, let's do that in a game. 5 minutes later, you finish reassembling your gun.
Oh, it had that moment where you had to kind of duck out the way, but that had built into the system where you can duck behind...
In Soviet Union, school child can assemble AK-47 in 30 seconds.
My point is that because that's all you had as a gun, when your ammo ran out...
When your ammo ran out, you better build a factory and make some more.
You slung your gun and you pulled out your pistol. So it would be quite nice if you always had a pistol. So if you ran out of ammo, instead of you having to run around melee attacking everybody, you just had a pistol with a spare clip. Which
I know what emergency they should do. They gun. Should go RoboCop style and have a pistol in the Master Chief's leg.
So he pulls it out, emergency style. Bang, 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 as he runs. Oh, there's some more ammo. Get the big guns out.
Right, Adam doing the sound effects.
I was hoping that
you can pick the turrets up in Halo 3 now. You can rip the turrets off their mounts and go walking around with a turret.
You're kidding me.
And you walk really slow, but it's like ultra powerful.
Oh, Terminator style. I want one.
The Terminator sucks. Get prancing around like he owns a place. Let's see what he does when someone drops a nuke on him. Pwned.
Melt.
He'd be oblivionized.
Yeah. But, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it indeed. Back onto last week's show, we talked about the release of City Heroes issue 9.
Oh, God.
I've had a play on it. Very good, but the system for the auction house was very complicated, really hard to use. You had to do this whole system of taking these missions to learn how to do everything, and it was kind of like, oh my god, this is long-winded. It took 20 minutes to go through the whole process, and I was kind of like, geez, compared to WoW, WoW's already got this out there, don't try and do something new, just do an auction. Because WoW's auction system is so close to the idea of eBay that a lot of people...
It's easy to use. Yeah. It's just...
Don't make anything different. The company should have just thought, look, WoW's,
let's just copy WoW's
done it, and WoW's just done a knockoff of a simple version of eBay, so we'll just do our version of a simple version of eBay. This was basically... The system is very similar to how you buy a house in Scotland. Right? It's silent bids. So you all do your bid. So, say for mistake, I've got this item, right? And I'm putting this up for bid. This item, pair of rocket boots. I'm going to sell them...
What?
500, right? You come along and you put down a bid of... And you're thinking, 1,000.
10 quid.
And another person comes along and thinks, I'll put 400. Well, they haven't met my bid, so they don't win. You've met my bid and gone over, so you could win, but someone comes along and puts 5,000 instead of 600 like you did, and they would win, and I would get way overpriced for my product because you don't know how much it costs. All they put is the last 4 dates that someone's won a bid for and how much they actually paid for it to show what people have been trying to buy. These things might only be people might only be putting a price down of like 40, and people are paying over the top because they're trying to win the bid. So it's not about your last bid. It's about and seeing the bid going up. So you come on the last moment and go, oh, people have been paying so many gold for it, and you've just got enough and you win that bid. It's just about how much money you can throw at it. Whoever, and then it's a silent bid, and when the bid eventually runs out, which you have no way of knowing, the person who threw the most money at it wins.
It's dumb.
But that person could have paid way over the budget for it. So it's a really stupid way of doing it. The rest of the building system, the invention system, is absolutely nice. I like the way it does it. You can build your own abilities to add to your superpowers, which before you had to go save up money for and buy. Now you can build them yourself, which means that you can level up a lot better. But the bidding system, I didn't like it.
It gives too much power to the seller.
Yeah. People who are selling stuff are going to make
it people
quite
buying
a lot.
It are buying it essentially blind.
Yeah. It's a blind bid.
You
people
know, they,
don't...
They would have to go off and consult, you know, some expert to work out what's an appropriate price for this item.
But then that problem is they're scared that they might not win because someone who's got shitloads of experience points, and you're basically selling your experience points, they might have hardcore, and the person who plays the most, like in WoW, gets the most gold, will get the most experience points, and they can just throw it at it. So I wasn't too keen about it. But the rest of the system, I did like. It was very nice. So they've done a nice thing for issue 9, but I just wanted to add that.
Okay, I think we just have one last item left.
Yep.
And that regards the iPod. Basically, the iPod will kill people. If you just hold it near their chest, people will die.
You're kidding me. Is it like radioactive or something?
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically it. People with pacemakers... that they were doing a study, basically. It was the Michigan State University. They had 100 patients, an average age of 77. All of them had pacemakers. And what they did essentially is put the iPod near them. And in half of them, the iPod actually interfered with their pacemaker. And in one case, the pacemaker actually stopped. It was like interfering. So the pacemaker uses electromagnetic wattsits to work out the pace of the person's heart.
Mm.
And the iPod was interfering with that, so the pacemaker was like running at a different rate.
I know
and in one case, the pacemaker broke and stopped working.
Because that's the thing, if you like technology, do not look after your heart, because if you have a pacemaker, there's so much wireless stuff you can't have in your house before it kills you. Technology is getting to the point where pacemakers are going to have to come further forward to actually... You're going to have some sort of shielding.
You're going to need lead shielding around your body. Well, all they have to do to resolve it is artificial heart.
Mm.
Okay, you've got... Although that wouldn't affect if it was like a problem in the brain or the nerves. So in which case, we'd have to do a brain transplant and chuck the nasty person away in your face. Bye-bye.
Have you seen that new system that they designed for the heart?
New system?
It's... What happens is when a person dies and they're donating their heart and someone's going to receive it.
Amen.
They're
only stealing my body parts.
The heart,
especially my foot, that's mine.
The heart can only go to certain people because it has a certain mile radius that it can get to before it's unable to be put into someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually
that's because the tissues will die.
Yeah, they've actually been able to extend that radius now because they've got this new machine that they can put the heart in, and they fill it up with the donor's blood. And the machine keeps the heart running. It will only last an extra 12 hours, but it means that the radius becomes a lot much larger, so that if a person dies in a certain hospital and there aren't anybody who needs a heart transplant, sometimes a heart can go to waste because there's no way of getting it to someone who needs it.
Basically, what they need to do to resolve the donor shortage is, by default, make everybody a donor. And if you want to opt out, then you get a donor card. And if you're a religious nut who, I don't want to give my body parts to some guy because it's mine, like, I want Jesus to have my whole body in heaven, you just punch that guy in the face.
I fully agree with you because...
What about the punching the religious guy in the face?
Yes, and also the fact that everybody should
This is now GamerCast's official policy. The committee has decided.
Yeah, we have a committee. That everybody should be donors on go. And to be honest, I think that they should make a policy that unless you opt out, every medical visit to a hospital, you should actually, unless it's medically not, you know, if you went in, like I've gone in there to get my teeth checked and stuff, or people go in and they do stuff with their eyes or things like that. And it's not majorly medical, you know, you weren't going in for a bypass.
This is a minor, you know, minor duper.
Yeah. If you've got time, they should take blood. So you should
give... You're having all this, like, minor surgery done, which, you know, stresses you out, and then they should steal some blood, which makes you even more stressed out.
No,
and then you fall
anything.
Down unconscious.
You know what I mean? If you're having something majorly small, or you went in there for a checkup or something, they, you know, they should say, can you give blood, you know? And if you say no, then they go, no, fine. But it would be a good idea. Fair enough, I'd hate it because I can't stand needles, but...
How much blood do you want?
But,
because my brain needs some. Don't take the blood my brain needs. I don't care if my foot falls off. Leave the brain alone, man. How can you distinguish? How can you tell the difference? You're stealing the blood that my brain was going to have.
Okay.
Oh god, that's going to get the pseudo scientific nut jobs in action now. Oh yeah, you have different blood for different parts of your body. Noob, smack.
Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, woohoo.
So I'd say that's...
Yeah, so
show.
Yeah, if you have a pacemaker, do not get an iPod. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah. Well, with any pacemaker person, check all wireless... mobile phone and all equipment to check to see whether or not it affects the pacemaker. I'm sure there's something on the Wii that says that can affect the pacemaker with the Wii remotes.
Luckily, I don't have a pacemaker.
No.
Krusty the Clown does.
Yeah. Poor guy.
That Simpsons episode, it was the 2000, you know, year 2000 celebrations. And all the stuff went wrong. His pacemaker, like, got set on hummingbird. And it was like, must drink my weight in nectar. And then he just fell down dead.
I remember that one.
No, he wasn't dead. The Simpsons walked off. And the Simpsons said, oh, poor Krusty, he's dead. And then he said, I'm not dead.
Do you remember that one with Apu, where he was working...
Apu? No, thanks.
He was working so... for such a long thing that he thought he was a hummingbird, and it's on the camera, he's going,
yeah.
And he was telling people that he was so believing it, he tried to drink nectar from Sanji's head. Oh, I love The Simpsons. At some point, it's got to be my mission to go and buy every episode on DVD. Just so that.
When we've got loads of money.
Yeah.
So
I'm
going to
buy 24.
If Rupert Murdoch wants to give us loads of money so we can buy his DVDs, fine.
Mm. We'll do that.
Yeah, give us some money to buy him, and we'll buy him. Boost your sales. Yeah, well, hey.
Yes. So I think that's pretty much
that's,
it.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I could delete all this crap.
All I'd like to put out there is games, as soon as they're released in America before they come over here, if any of our American listeners want to do a review on them before any of our European listeners.
Hey, look, the Obi-Wan dude is in the chat.
Obi-Wan, we got your mail. Nice one. And we got
your money.
Your donation. It's going towards GamerCast to keep our servers running. Thank God.
Well, I mean, it's although it's spread over two servers, we could technically do it on one server, but we'd lose the cool, like, names, because I'd have to think of a way to do that on the other thing.
Yeah. Which would be annoying.
And if we move it the other way, we lose all the live stuff.
Yeah, we like the live stuff.
Yeah, even though it's like one person's like lost his chat room place and like wandered off somewhere, and Darth Ura didn't show up. So yeah, Darth Ura, officially, the committee has decided you suck.
The committee for the greater good. It's like the committee in Hot Fuzz, and every the answer of every question is like, for the greater good. For the greater good. So yeah. Anybody?
For Jesus.
Jesus zombie.
Zombie Jesus.
Anybody who's played Lord of the Rings online, we'd like to hear
your
comments
on
it.
Yeah, we want some stuff on Lord of the Rings because we didn't know anything about it.
So if anybody's playing it,
hey, looks PGR free.
Let us know about it. Any latest games in America, let us know about it. We want to get some reviews before they come over to the UK. So if you can beat us on review, we'd love it. We'd like to hear.
Yeah, we need to hook up with Killy Pants Mafia and make him our official US review person.
Yeah, which would be really good. If someone does want to be our official US review person, is someone who buys video games on a regular basis on release date, or can get hold of demos or stuff like that, or you like, I ain't bought this game, but my friend has. I went over his house and played on it. Brilliant. Just do a review, send it to us.
Great. Send it to us, and I promise I won't pause it and make fun of your opinions.
But it is always funny when you do it.
Yeah, but people like it annoyed. That's why Darth Ura doesn't do it anymore. Right, are we done? Are you going to babble on still?
No, I've finished babbling on.
Because I need to stress test your 360.
Yeah, we're going to stress test the 360 to make sure it is actually still working before I go and try and get a cable made. And
yeah, if you have a power cable you wish to donate to GamerCast for Adam's 360, contact feedback at GamerCast.net.
Yeah, because all I have is the Xbox 360 and I've got the power block cable, but I don't have...
Maybe it's the power thing that's faulty on it.
Well, yeah, I could always, when I get buy a 360, I could always buy one of them that comes... I've only seen one thing on eBay that was just a cable. The rest of them are with the cable and the power block, so I'll probably just get the cable and the power block.
How much is that?
Don't know.
Right, you saw it on eBay, but you didn't see how much it was.
Well, I just knew that they were there. I've been hunting all night when I've got this thing home, trying to... Because as soon as I got it, I was like, ooh, I can play on it. And then I thought, okay... There's no way to plug it into the main, because I thought, ooh, I can just go run up and see if I can borrow one of your cables to plug it into my TV, just to see if it would turn on. And I thought, bollocks, I don't even have a way of powering it up. And then I looked at the block and I was thinking, ooh, that would fit in a PC. So off I went, yanking out the back of the trying to get my arm on the back of the PC to yank the power cable out, look at it and went, okay, there was a gouge on the one on the Xbox 360 and there isn't one on the PC.
Oh, jeez.
Bollocks.
Don't swear on the show.
Monkey nuts. Right, so, yeah.
Is that it? Or are you going to babble on still?
No, I finished babbling.
Okay, we will see everyone next week on episode 72.
And live listeners can continue to live for a while yeah. We're playing the Xbox 360 and sorting out the show. And we shall see you next week. Laters.